I know I've said it before, it's inevitable. I mean, Christmas is Christmas. I've been here 6 years now. I've said it's difficult to prepare a homily for Christmas. Everybody knows the punchline. Everybody knows the end of the story. In fact, most of the people, without any preparation, could get up and give a fairly good homily. We all know the message of Christmas. We all know why Jesus came. It's so important to us all. So it's tough on the priest or whoever is the preacher to come up with a homily that might somehow be a little different and not seem like a retread from last year. With that thought in mind, I started thinking of the familiar homilies I've heard over the years. Some would be as familiar to some of you as to me. I was thinking of some of those very predictable, reliable, recurrent homilies that the old pastors gave in my youth. When you'd see them looking over the congregation, noticing unfamiliar faces, and say, "Here's my chance. Here are those once-a-year Catholics. I'll zap them good. I'll direct my words at them, scold them for not being here last week and the week before." Well, if perchance you're a visitor or only an occasional friend, I'll tell you, the people of this parish would be rid of me in short order if I ever gave a homily like that. Here at Queen of Peace, we welcome everybody. Familiar, unfamiliar, we rejoice to see your faces. Even if, in fact, you're a friend we haven't seen since last year, we're just so glad that our faith community was the one you chose to renew your spirit for this Christmas celebration. So welcome, sisters and brothers. We're delighted to have you here. No scoldings are appropriate in a Christmas homily, and most of all, not in this parish. Well, I can't use that one then. Oh, I know, there's another one the old priest used to get a lot of mileage out of. Put Christ back into Christmas. Some of you can feel it coming, see? It's all about the commercialism, the sentimentality, the extravagance of our gifts. Turned out to be another scolding because of our Christmas customs. But nobody needs a homily about that. We all know that that's part of being human, that we tend to overdo. We all know that if we were the saints we dream of being, we'd all strip ourselves of all our worldly goods and everything we own would be given over to the poor. Well, it's a rare priest or nun we see setting that example for us. And most of us are not called, at least as yet, to the highest levels of sanctity. We are able to get along so well because we're fellow pilgrims just on the way. We're working at it. Nobody needs to tell us that the ideal would be to let go as Jesus did, totally. Give yourself completely to those in need. But especially here at Queen of Peace, taking the words of Matthew in his 25th chapter, finding Christ in the poor and in the needy, there's no need to give a homily like that. Well, there's another good idea I have to toss aside. Ah, I remember the one that the liturgists came up with after Vatican II, when we got with a great intensity into the renewal of the liturgy. And though their intentions were good, did they come with a passion, saying, "Get rid of this baby stuff at Christmas, all this sentimentality. Jesus was a baby only once in history. That's over and done. He went on to live a life into his adult years and was struck down by human cruelty and viciousness and sin. And then he rose up triumphant. Jesus is triumphant Lord, not a little baby." Well, I'll just speak for myself. I reject that exhortation. I would say to those who would preach that homily, give my baby back to me. Let me have my baby Jesus. Because if I let go of that, I just might forget what the real meaning of his coming is and always will be. Oh, I know he is triumphant, Lord. I know his infancy was a one-time historical fact, but it is not for nothing that the church calls us back to the manger, to the crib each year. And why? Because the message of God is salvation comes in the total helplessness of the human condition. That's where and how it happens. If I speak only for myself, I would have to say it would be very difficult, I do believe impossible, for me to associate myself fully and effectively with a triumphant Lord. He seems so powerful, so high, so distant, so overwhelming. But I can really get close to a baby. I can really get close to the idea of God clothed in human flesh with all its frailty, with its literal helplessness. And God meant that we should never forget this. He does do his redemption in human weakness. And when are we weaker? When are we in any sense more vulnerable than in our infancy? It was for this reason that Almighty God entered our human condition not as triumphant Lord, but as tiny little baby, as helpless as that. Because in all the days to follow, it was to be God's plan that hearts would be lifted, spirits inflamed, reality changed, not by great triumphant, all-powerful people, but by frail, frightened, little people like you and me. Jesus was one of us, a little person, even to the sense of being like us in our littlest moment, in our very infancy. He wanted us to remember. He insists that we remember each year that the triumph of God's glory, that the redemption of the world, that the transformation of the universe was effected through God's power working in the human condition at its weakest, most vulnerable, most helpless. And that, my sisters and brothers, is where we come in. During these Advent Sundays, we've shared thoughts together. We've watched the prophets, in a sense, walk past us in the words of the scripture, inspire us anew, cause some of us even to tremble at the power of their poetry, at the force of their example, Isaiah and John the Baptist in particular. And just this day past, our fourth Sunday of Lent, challenged by the simple faith and power of a carpenter fellow and an unknown, insignificant country girl who both dared to believe that in their humble condition, that these two nobodies, not having all the answers, but having a sense of faith in the God who made us all, that they could make a difference. And there we are, and here we are, this Christmas, with that message which God repeats over and over and over again. It is, I hope, with a new power that God speaks to you through the angel of this night's gospel. For God speaks to me with new force, saying, don't be afraid. It's all right. You can do it. You can bring love and goodness and decency to a world terribly in need of these godly gifts. We have, during these past Sundays, and the fourth Sunday of Advent in particular, tried to understand together that we are a privileged people. Oh, so are all the people of God ever born, whoever breathed. And in a very special way, privileged are all those who have been anointed in baptism and confirmation to share in the prophetic ministry of Jesus, to tell the good news, to turn the tide, to lift up the world. We have reflected on this together, but we have tried to understand that of all the baptized, all the anointed, in all the generations since the birth of Jesus until now, it seems not at all unreasonable to say, never before in the Christian era have a baptized people had so much going for them. Never before, I venture to observe, never before in history have so many dramatic things happened so quickly, so contagiously, so overwhelmingly, as in God's world today. Who, even the wisest of the elders among you, could say in honesty you expected to live to see the day that the people of the Soviet Union and the peoples of Eastern Europe would be celebrating freedom like a great and overwhelming chorus? Who among us ever dared to believe that so many little people, shop workers and clerks, professional people, old and young in so many places, at one time would raise a common voice of confidence in their own dignity and worth and become an overwhelming chorus crying out to the world, we are God's people, and through the little people like us, this world will be different? Do you believe? Could you possibly believe in your heart that we have God's permission to just sit and watch a little longer and figure that maybe it'll be next year or the year after that our turn will come to make a difference? Could you be so bold? Excuse me if I say, could you be so foolhardy as to think that God will give you and me, will give us another glorious chance like this? Will Christmas come again when you might say the stars will be in such a configuration for all people of faith and a little bit of courage and hope and trust in the Lord to join forces with one another for justice and peace and human dignity? Oh, my sisters and brothers, if this Christmas renews your hope, let the world know it. Let the poor, suffering sisters and brothers of this family in Haiti, whose hearts have been lifted so often only to be dashed again to earth, let them know that the people of God who celebrate Christmas believe this is the year, this is the time, this is the moment that the little people will make the coming of Christ really make a difference for a world that needs his presence so profoundly. Can we in good conscience celebrate Christmas around our tables and share our gifts from under the tree this year with peace of heart, if we are not in some way echoing the cry of our sisters and brothers in China, in Tiananmen Square, whose voices have been silenced? Is it possible who believe that God comes in Jesus and in all who are baptized in his name? Is it possible we can remain silent till a safer or a surer or clearer moment than this one? I tell you this, I have no idea how many more years God will give me to preach his word, but I wouldn't dare ask of God that I be given another Christmas equal to this one, to sound the good news to a people that should be so ready to hear it, to take it up, to carry it, to make a difference, to tell the world the Lord has come. And he's assured us that every single person on earth is of profound worth, immeasurable dignity before God the Creator, and therefore every other person on earth must take up the defense of the poor, the oppressed, the ignored, the cheated out, and the trampled upon. The good news is that God will win. You might say, the better news is we, little old you and little old me, little people that we are, we can actually make it happen in our time. This is the time. The Advent call was sounded again a few weeks ago. Now is the acceptable time. This is the hour of salvation. God forgive me. God forgive you. If somehow or other we get distracted, or we start to rationalize, or take time to think it through more carefully, rather than to seize this grace-filled moment, little people, little sisters and brothers, weak, frightened, scared people, real people, fear not. The good news is here, and it's in you. There are no angels at our command to proclaim his glory. They are history. We are now. It is we who must bring the whole world into one great chorus. Oh, glory to God in high heaven. Peace, peace on earth to all God's people now.